Forex Fridays, only on Money FM 89.3.
You're listening to Forex Fridays today, and the big question among many across many asset classes is whether or not that storm that hit the fixed income markets is over, especially that bond sell-off that sent yields surging on the back of inflationary fears. It seems that in a week that was marked by the signing of the $1.9 trillion economic stimulus plan by the Biden administration and the wrapping up of China's latest National People's Congress, that just might be the case, and markets might actually be returning to some sense of normalcy. What will this actually mean for the U.S. dollar that started to go back to losing ways? Well, today on Forex Fridays, we're joined by Mr. Stephen Innes, Chief Market Strategist for the Asia Pacific at Axie Corp. He's here to share with us his thoughts on how all of this will actually shape currency markets moving forward. Mr. Innes, thank you so much for joining us today. Glad to hear you and your loved ones are still safe and in good health out in Bangkok. And welcome back to the show, sir. It's been a while.
Great. Thanks for having me, JP. It's good to talk to you again.
So, Stephen, it seems that the coast is clear on a handful of fronts. President Joe Biden just signing off on that $1.9 trillion economic stimulus plan, and recent bond auctions by the U.S. Treasury have been deemed as being adequate. That's also calmed nerves and jitters across the yield curve. If so, does this mean that the dollar's recent resurgence might actually be over, and the party may be over for the greenback?
It's hard to say because we really don't know, first of all, what the real preeminent answer to the preeminent macro question is for the U.S. in 2021. Will this medium to large burst of inflation and economic activity that's baked practically into the cake for the next 6 months be durable or transitory? Will we have a quick spurt or a long boom? I don't know yet. I'm not really sure where that's going. I don't even think the Feds know where it's going either. So they're taking a bit of a hands-off approach right now, saying, yeah, we'll let the bond yields go. But, you know, they're probably more concerned about the repricing of the rate hikes into 2023. We could see a little bit of pushback there. But even there, I don't think so. I think they're just going to align themselves with the markets right now because the markets are operating quite efficiently right now. When you figure that we've got bond yields are up at 1.5 and we're still making record highs in the S&P 500, what's the matter with that, really, when you think about it, right? So things are operating pretty efficiently right now. But the fear is what happens if higher yields hit? Will the markets be able to absorb higher yields because the economic conditions look good, or will they be fearful that that's going to trigger higher and even higher yields? This is the question. I think the market's pretty much overreacting to a taper tantrum that's not really there right now. They're also overreacting to inflation expectations that aren't really there right now. These are questions we're going to iron out over the next 6 to 12 months. So to answer your question, I don't know now, but we're going to find out over the next 6 to 12 months.
You know, over the last 2 weeks, Stephen, I noticed interesting, and we saw a temporary erosion or breakdown of the dollar's negative correlation to commodities. Whenever we see a stronger greenback, it tends to blunt at least any rallies we've seen in commodity markets. But as early as last week, we saw oil and iron ore prices continue to climb alongside the dollar flexing for the most part. What did you make of that? And what might this actually mean for commodity currencies, like, say, the Aussie or the New Zealand dollar?
Well, I think the reflation currencies are just the path of least resistance. So if you wanted to sell dollars, those are the currencies where you go. And I think that's what we continue to see where, you know, perhaps people may use the euro as a funding currency as opposed to the dollar. So the euro at times stays weak. But I think, you know, what we're seeing right now is both the euro and the U.S. trading in a pretty tight range when you think about it. We haven't really done a lot over the past few months, although, you know, since January, obviously expectations for the euro to go to 125 or 130 have completely gone out the window because of the resurgent economic conditions in the U.S. that have come on a lot quicker. And, you know, there's more discussions about the Fed raising interest rates sooner than later, and this sort of gathers more momentum for the dollar. But, you know, the real big questions that really have to be answered when it comes to the U.S. will the Feds actually sort of walk the talk, so to speak, and suggest that they're going to continue to walk that dovish tone, or are they going to actually push back against the dovish tone and start to factor in a little bit of a taper, given the vaccine and stimulus-driven growth in the economy could lead to inflation? We need to answer these questions. I think at this stage we're still too early in the equation. But look, Now, nobody wants a strong currency in this market. This is the funny thing, right? Everybody's trying to figure out what central banks are going to do. Central banks are going to make sure that they take as much volatility out of currency markets as possible, because obviously the RBA doesn't want the Aussie dollar any stronger because they're an exporter. Likewise, in Asia, most Asia central banks don't want the currency stronger. They'll do everything they can possibly do to keep it weaker relative to, you know, trade-weighted basis, so that their currency continues to do well. These are just facts of life. So I think, you know, we tend to overreact to slight movements in the currency markets. Every time we get a 100 pip movement one way or the other, it's either Armageddon for the dollar or it's U.S. exceptionalism. But we have to really keep in mind here that, you know, currencies are meant to keep things in sort of concert with the overall stream of market activity, and they act sort of a big equalizer towards trade and what have you, and monetary policy transitioning. But I think everybody's going to move to the same beat on the policy transition. So it really becomes a growth game, and whoever's going to pick up the fastest growth, in my view, is going to have the stronger currency over the next 6 months. Would I count out the U.S. in that argument? Absolutely not, because I actually think their economy is going to do better than China's economy. And this suggests to me that we could see a rotation out of China into U.S. markets later in the year.
So we'll speak to Mr. Stephen Innes, Chief Market Strategist for the Asia-Pacific at Axie Corp, here on Forex Fridays. And we might have to just wait until the Fed's policy decision next week. But first off, overnight, we did hear from the European Central Bank, which did have decided to speed up the pace at which they're purchasing bonds for the most part. How is this all affecting the outlook on the euro, which now faces a lot of macroeconomic questions with regards to the delays in rolling out COVID-19 vaccines in that particular part of the world?
If there was one currency I wouldn't buy, it would be the euro. That would be last on my list. Simply, the ECB's completely, I don't even know where they're sitting right now. Like, the confusion reigns. There's continual internal squabbling. I mean, they just don't seem to be getting aligned on anything. I think this is just what they suggested overnight is basically a staging, sort of a little bit of a dovishness that markets were sort of hoping on the equity side, but they're not really dovish at all. They're going to continue to be reactive, not proactive, to probably strengthen the euro. If the euro strengthens too quickly, they're going to try to water it down. That's their big worry, because they're really driving economic activity out of Germany, and that's really predicated on keeping the euro weaker. If the euro strengthens, it's really negative for the big export engines in Germany, and that'll weigh on the eurozone as a whole, because that's the largest economy. So we have to keep that in counterbalance here, that Germany definitely wants the euro weaker, and that's just going to be a fact of life right now. How they drive the euro weaker is a bigger question, really, since you've got a reactive, not a proactive central bank that doesn't want to drop interest rates. So we'll have to see how this game plays out. In the meantime, I think the euro has a chance to go a little bit weaker, but not substantially weaker. I think, you know, every time we get to the 1850 level on the euro, we start to wonder, well, you know, will there be a catch-up play? Will the European economy start to play catch-up to the U.S., especially on the vaccine front? So that sort of seems to water down any U.S. dollar strength. Really, I think if you're a currency trader right now, what you have to really be trying to line up is your views on central banks right now. And the only really central, and the only central bank that really matters is the Fed's. Look, it's stupid to even try to think about what the Feds are going to do, but you have to react to what the Feds are going to tell you. In other words, what signals the Feds are going to do. Until that time, we're going to have to wait. So in other words, we're going to be, you know, playing the cat and mouse game between markets and the Feds for a little while, until the Feds finally signal, yeah, it's time to taper or it's time to lift off. Then the dollar gets a little bit stronger for a couple of months, and then we're back to that risk parity neutrality again, where we go back into the same argument about what happens here, what happens there.
Now, Stephen, let's stick with the theme of central banks. And central bank governors across the world have been fairly busy this week, but perhaps one that seems more anxious than most is the central bank governor of Taiwan, who's a little bit concerned, actually, that they could be labeled sooner or later a currency manipulator by the United States. They say that they've checked the three major criteria that the Treasury actually has as a checklist. How do you see this influencing the Taiwan dollar trading after these comments?
The currency manipulator is really only geared towards China, and it's just a subtle byproduct that other countries are just being put into that same category because of the criteria that they're using to label China. But really, I don't think it matters in the overall scheme of things. I think central banks will continue to do what they think independently to support their economies. If it means weakening the currency, well, they're going to try to talk the currency down. Swiss National Bank, RBA, whoever, they're all going to want a weaker currency, and that's just a fact of life. They don't want the dollar, the U.S. dollar, to weaken too much, especially against their individual currency, and that's a problem for a lot of exporting countries. Sure, the good thing here is that the yuan is getting stronger because of they're looking to internationalize the yuan. So with a lot of these local currencies and countries that are doing a lot of business with China, to a little bit, it's sort of offset here because it doesn't really matter, given the fact that the stronger yuan does have a tendency to influence the overall stronger dollar basket. On a trade-weighted basis between country to country, it's not a huge difference, but where it really becomes a big factor is when they start interplaying into the developed world, and this is where it becomes a problem. So they have to sort of take that into the calculus. It's important not to let their currency get too stronger, especially in a recovering economy coming out of this COVID demise.
And finally, Stephen, there's been a lot of talk about picking funding currencies and doing carry trades because of how many currencies there are that are actually trading in negative rates and might stay in negative territory. If you personally were looking for a funding currency of choice, which one would you choose? And would you have a particular currency to pair that up with if you were looking for a possible trade in March?
Oh, typically, it's the low-yield yen and the Swissie, but I've actually been using the euro as a funding currency for the past 2 months because the low rates it offers, and it was on a depreciating tangent, and this looked to be quite attractive to carry some emerging market risk, high-yielding Asia emerging market risk. But we have to be very careful here when we're at the bottom of the ranges, so we almost have to do the pivots again. So we trade out of the euro, and we sort of look to move back into yen. But the yen's been a good trade. The short yen has been a good trade since the Georgia runoff session. Whether you've been running that as a carry trade is another thing, but you know, the dollar yen has been the long dollar yen trade has been a very, very strong trade itself. So I've been looking more at the yen as a differentiator as opposed to a funding currency these days.
Stephen Innes, a chief market strategist for the Asia Pacific region at Axie Corp. Thank you so much for spending some time with us today on Forex Fridays to give us your thoughts on how rising bond yields and all these central bank moves might influence the greater Forex space in the long run. As always, I wish you and your loved ones continued health and safety during these times, and we look forward to the next time we can have you back on the show. Meantime, happy Friday, sir, and have a great weekend.
Great. Thanks, JP. Have a great weekend.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.